理课堂听 class.com。
Unit 6, Preview. Is science the religion of modern times? Many people look to science to solve our problems, cure our diseases, improve our lives, and save the world. Others fear science, protesting that in their race for progress, scientists give too little consideration to the long-term social and environmental implications of their discoveries.Either way, there's no denying the power of science and scientists to change our lives for better or worse. Who are our leading scientists then? Who are these people who are shaping our future? What kind of people are they? The texts you're going to read in this unit give us a glimpse of the lives and personalities of three of the most influential scientists of the 20th century.Stephen Hawking, Thomas Edison, and Albert Einstein.
Text A, A Brief History of Stephen Hawking by Michael White and John Gribbin. He has been proclaimed the finest mind alive, the greatest genius of the late 20th century, and Einstein's heir. Known to millions far and wide for his book, A Brief History of Time, Stephen Hawking is a star scientist in more ways than one. His gift for revealing the mysteries of the universe in a style that non-scientists can enjoy made Hawking an instant celebrity and his book a bestseller in both Britain and America. It has earned a place in the Guinness Book of Records for spending 184 weeks in the Sunday Times top 10 lists, and has sold more than 5 million copies worldwide, virtually unheard-of success for a science book. How did all this happen? How has a man who is almost completely paralyzed and unable to speak except through a computer overcome these... University of New Hampshire...another co-author of the study. Braswell said that in years when the global weather... William Hawking was a healthy baby born to intellectual, eccentric parents. His father, Frank, a doctor specializing in tropical diseases, and his mother, Isabel, a doctor's daughter, lived in a big old house full of books. Carpets and furniture stayed in use until they fell apart. The wallpaper hung peeling from old age.The family car was a London taxi, bought for £50. Hawking has always been fascinated by his birth date, January the 8th, 1942. It was the 300th anniversary of the death of Galileo, the Italian mathematician and astronomer, who revolutionized astronomy by maintaining that the sun is the center of the solar system, not the earth, as ancient astronomers believed.Galileo, says Hawking, was the first scientist to start using his eyes, both figuratively and literally. In a sense, he was responsible for the age of science we now enjoy. Hawking attended St. Albans School, a private school noted for its high academic standards. He was part of a small elite group, the brightest of the bright students. They hung around together, listened to classical music,and read only such smart authors as Aldous Huxley and Hawking's hero Bertrand Russell, at once an intellectual giant and a liberal activist. Hawking spent very little time on maths homework, yet got full marks. A friend recalls, "While I would be struggling away with a complicated problem, he just knew the answer. He didn't have to think about it."This instinctive insight also impressed his teachers. One of Hawking's science teachers, for example, recalls the time he posed the question, "Does a cup of hot tea reach a drinkable temperature more quickly if you put the milk in first or add the milk after pouring?" While the rest of the class struggled over how to even begin approaching the problem, Hawking almost instantly announced the correct answer.Add the milk after pouring, of course. The hotter the tea initially, the faster it will cool. Another teacher relates how Hawking and his friends built a simple computer, and this was in 1958, a time when only large research centers had any computers at all. Hawking, the schoolboy, was a typical grind, underweight and awkward and peering through eyeglasses. His grey uniform always looked a mess and he spoke rather unclearly, having inherited a slight lisp from his father. This had nothing to do with early signs of illness. He was just that sort of kid, a figure of classroom fun, respected by his friends, avoided by most. Hawking went on to study at Oxford, winning a scholarship to read natural science, a course which combines mathematics, physics, and astronomy at University College. He found much of the work easy and averaged only 1 hour's work a day. Once, when his tutor set some physics problems from a textbook, Hawking didn't even bother to do them. Asked why, he spent 20 minutes pointing out errors in the book. His main enthusiasm was the boat club. Many times he returned to shore with bits of the boat knocked off, having tried to guide his crew through an impossibly narrow gap. His rowing trainer suspects half the time he was sitting in the stern with his head in the stars, working out mathematical formulae. Oxford has always had its share of eccentric students, so Hawking fit right in. But then, when he was 21, he was told that he had ALS, a progressive and incurable nerve disease. The doctors predicted that he had only a few years to live. "Before my condition was diagnosed, I was very bored with life," Hawking says today, speaking from his wheelchair through a computerized voice synthesizer. The doctor's grim prognosis made him determined to get the most from a life he had previously taken for granted. "But I didn't die," Hawking notes dryly. Instead, as his physical condition worsened, Hawking's reputation in scientific circles grew, as if to demonstrate the theory of mind over matter. Hawking himself acknowledges his disease as being a crucial factor in focusing his attention on what turned out to be his real strength: theoretical research. Hawking specializes in theoretical cosmology, a branch of science that seeks ultimate answers to big questions. Why has the universe happened, and what are the laws that govern it? His main work has been on black holes and the origin and expansion of the universe. He currently holds the Cambridge University professorship once held by Sir Isaac Newton. The smartest man in the world is not immune to the depression that can accompany severe disabilities. But Hawking says, "I soon realized that the rest of the world won't want to know you if you're bitter or angry. You have to be positive if you're to get much sympathy or help." He goes on, "Nowadays, muscle power is obsolete. What we need is mind power, and disabled people are as good at that as anyone else."
New words. Proclaim.
Air.
Best seller.
Top 10.
Virtually.
Virtual.
Paralyze.
Obstacle.
Eccentric.
Tropical.
Carpet.
Wallpaper.
Peel.
Anniversary.
Mathematician.
Astronomer.
Revolutionize.
Astronomy.
Solar.
Ancient.
Figuratively.
Literally.
Elite.
Classical.
Instinctive.
Insight.
Pose.
Initially.
Relate.
Underweight.
Awkward.
Peer.
Eyeglasses.
Inherit.
Lisp.
Crew.
Gap.
Mathematical.
Progressive.
Incurable.
Nerve.
Predict.
Diagnose.
Wheelchair.
Synthesizer.
Grim.
Prognosis.
Dryly.
Worsen.
Demonstrate.
Acknowledge.
Theoretical.
Cosmology.
Govern.
Governor.
Expansion.
Immune.
Depression.
Disability.
Sympathy.
Sympathize.
Black hole.
Nowadays.
Obsolete.
Text B. Inventor of the Future by Jonas Hughes. If one person can be said to have led the world into the age of technology, it was Thomas Alva Edison. Not only did he invent and perfect many of the technologies vital to the modern world, including the electric light, the motion picture camera, and the first sound recordings, he also set the standard for how research and development is done today. Edison's best-known saying is, "Genius is 1% inspiration and 99% perspiration." This belief was his religion. He worked day and night for much of his life. By the time he died in 1931, he had patented over 1,100 inventions. Some were entirely his own, but many were improvements he had made to the inventions of others. Edison's career began in New York in 1869 when he was 22 years old. He arrived in the city with nothing but the shirt on his back. It turned out that the old family friends he had hoped would help him had moved on. Consequently, Edison found himself out on the street. He ended up sleeping in the cellar of a company that operated an information service for stockbrokers. In those days, information was sent from place to place using ticker tape. And one day, the system collapsed. In the chaos that followed, Edison offered to fix the problem, and within minutes had the equipment working again. He was immediately given a job. Within a year, Edison had saved enough money to open his own company manufacturing ticker tape machines. The business did well, and Edison had plenty of time to concentrate on his experiments and inventions. In fact, he was so productive that within 6 years, he had patented over 120 inventions. In between running a successful business, getting married, and starting a family. Shortly after that, he moved his factory to Menlo Park, New Jersey, where he established his first big laboratory. It was here that Edison was to do his best work and build his international reputation. The factory would also set the standard for how new technologies would be created and perfected in the future, according to patent consultant Ted Blake. Edison was really the first man to run a research and development department like a modern technology concern. A lot of invention nowadays is modification of existing products and processes to make them a little bit more commercial, a little bit more effective. And Edison started all that off. Few of Edison's most useful inventions were entirely original. Instead, he concentrated much of his time and effort on improving existing products. One was the telephone. Alexander Graham Bell invented it. But it was Edison who improved the range and clarity of the instrument so that it could be put to practical use by ordinary people. Moreover, some of the inventions commonly attributed to Edison had already been invented. One example is the light bulb. This was first demonstrated in London in 1878 by its English inventor, Joseph Wilson Swan. However, when Edison demonstrated his light bulb in the U.S. the following year, it was he who was given credit for bringing the electric light to the world. One reason was that Edison did more than just supply a light bulb. As Brian Bowers of London Science Museum explains, Edison believed that if you had electric light, then you should have an Edison electric light bulb in an Edison lamp connected by a piece of Edison wire all the way back to the Edison generator in the Edison power station. It was a different concept. He was going for the whole system. In this, Edison was unlike most scientists and inventors, who tend to concentrate on one particular idea or field. Edison never restricted himself. The reason, says his biographer, Neil Baldwin, is that he was motivated by a desire to improve people's lives. You can see this theme throughout his life. To help the people of America to better their lives, he designed mass housing for the working people. He tried to find a cheaper way to mine iron ore. He designed a battery for an automobile, and he tried to make an electric car to cut down on environmental pollution. In fact, so great was Edison's desire to invent things that would make life easier and better that he neglected to exploit many of his inventions because he didn't believe they would be of use to people or that people would want them. One of his biggest mistakes was to underestimate the attraction of cinema and radio. After inventing the motion picture camera, he abandoned filmmaking because he believed movies could only be of interest to specialists who would use them for education, not entertainment. And although he was the first person to record sound, he failed to develop that technology because he didn't think people would want radios. His reasoning was that the public would not allow into their homes a source of entertainment they couldn't control. Despite these occasional errors of judgment, Edison produced a steady supply of useful inventions throughout his life, many of which are still helping to shape our world.
New words. Vital.
Motion.
Motion picture.
Recording.
Inspiration.
Invention.
Consequently.
Consequent.
Seller.
Stockbroker.
Stock.
Broker.
Ticker tape.
Chaos.
Productive.
Consultant.
Modification.
Modify.
Clarity.
Bulb.
Light bulb.
Generator.
Restrict.
Biographer.
Biography.
Theme.
Housing.
Or.
Exploit.
Underestimate.
Attraction.
Filmmaking.
Entertainment.
Entertain.
Occasional.